Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show Lady Boss knows what women want: to be free to speak their voice, to live in financial freedom, and build businesses that radiate wealth, leaving legacies we can be proud of. Every Friday, we bring you Lady Boss entrepreneurs that are changing the world. Diane Solano, the energy entrepreneur. Dana Terrio, handle the lump, heal your life. And Joan Sharp, changing the conversation from money to vision. See you Friday. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Cornelia Stephanie with my co-host, Dana Terrio, and we are on Handle the Lump, Heal Your Life, Part 12. Part 12, that means we've done 12 shows so far in this series, Handle the Lump, Heal Your Life. And today we're talking about how to be a boundary badass for breast health with Dana Terrio. Welcome, Dana.
Hi, Cornelia. How are you today?
Wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm just, you know, soaking up the self-isolation. It's a good profound pause for me.
It's a profound pause, I think, for everyone is really being invited to go in and look within to see what really matters now. And I wanted to do a recap with you. We've done 12 shows. This series, Handle the Lump, Heal Your Life, is your baby. And it's something that it's your handle, and you've been bringing on the guests and the speakers and the people that have inspired and influenced our audience to navigate serious challenges in their lives, and also to give them the tools and the resources that they need. And I just want to let the audience know that if you are at home right now and you're challenged with a health condition or anything else that where you're really looking at healing your life from your past life, because when I say past life, isn't that interesting? Past life, your life past. Now would be the time to binge watch all the shows for this series. And the way that you can do that is just go to YouTube, Cornelia Stephanie, look at the playlist for Dana Terrio, Handle the Lump, Heal Your Life. And you're going to see 12 shows there. Even if you want to, you know, go to Dr. V's website for sure, because she was awesome, has an amazing book, awesome woman. It's actually Dana's personal doctor as well. And I was on her podcast too, and it was really awesome to be on her show. And so go to the YouTube video and look at which one was Dr. V. I want to say five.
She was number two. She was number two because she was our first guest.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So definitely go check it out. It was really, really powerful. And go sign up for her free gift. And while you're at it, ladies and gentlemen, this weekend, Saturday, 3/28 at 11 a.m. Pacific time, I am offering, you guys see me here as a host. I host the Cornelia Stephanie shows with my co-hosts, and you see me doing all of these things in the media. But what I truly am is an energy master. And so on Saturday, I'm offering a free webinar. I mastered transcending fear. And this Saturday at 11 a.m., I'm offering a free webinar for anyone that wants to master their fear. Come to the webinar and bring your fears with you. And what would those fears be? Fear of loss, fear of running out of money, fear of death, fear of getting sick, fear of your family getting sick, fear of lack of purpose, fear of the uncertainty. When is this all going to be over? All of these things, when the fear isn't acknowledged in someone's energy field, it's in the field. And the mental body, the mind, is always preoccupied with the energy. And so it's always thinking, danger ahead, something bad's gonna happen, something bad's gonna happen, because the fear is in the field. And our energy field is not just our body, but our energy field, if has all of this energy in it, and if it's not acknowledged and cleared away and cleared out, it can have you carry that around with you, and then you are walking around in fear. We don't have to. So love loves away the fear. And that's what my Saturday webinar is all about, 11 a.m. The link is going to be here in the YouTube video in the show. We're going to put it there. Feel free. It's free. Everybody come, bring your family, bring everybody, bring all your fears, and we're going to love it all away. And I'm going to show you how easy it is to transcend fear out of your environment, even though we're scared. Okay. So Dana, I'm just amazed at how far we've come during our collaboration of doing this show and how wonderful it's been bringing all the guests on. Like you said, amazing caliber of people that we've had on, extraordinary individuals that are influencing the world, that all the challenges that they've had and faced with have made the world a better place. And you brought today this incredible lady. And before we even got on the show, I showed her my pants because I put my pants on for her as a special gift. I'm looking forward to meeting her, and I'm looking forward to having you introduce her to us. Do you want to do that now?
Yes. You know, I am so grateful that our guest showed up for us today, and I've so enjoyed her books, and I can't believe how it all happened. It's in the field. And I know that our special guest can speak to what you're talking about, fear, because she can talk about the negativity bias that we have in the brain. I know that our guest, Nancy, has so much to offer. So allow me to introduce her now. So I'm pleased to introduce to you Nancy Levin, a master coach and bestselling author of several books, including her latest, Setting Boundaries Will Set You Free. Formerly the event director at Hay House for over a decade, Nancy is the creator of the Levin Life Coach Academy and offers in-depth coaching and training programs designed to support clients in making themselves a priority and setting boundaries that stick. And this is her beautiful, brilliant book. I know I say that all the time because I only bring on people with books that I love. And Nancy surely is qualified, and I love the language arts. And just, I mean, she even begins with a poem. It's beautiful. It's really... It's something special. And Nancy just
hold it up, because I couldn't really see the focus. Zach, can you help us with the focus? Just so that the audience can see it. It's gorgeous. It also matches your scarf.
Thanks. Well, you know what I do? I read a book and I write a book. So I am such a nerd.
Oh my gosh. That's excellent.
See, Nancy, I am
I love that.
You know, and I love everything because everything follows. It's sequentially, you know, easily in perfect order because the predecessor, I love this book.
Oh.
And this is where we get the party started. So I don't know if Zach, you can see that worthy, boost your self-worth to grow your net worth. So I mean, it's hard to imagine what this lady has done, the hoops she has gone through, the planes she has jumped on to make things happen. So allow me to introduce Nancy Levin. I'm so happy that you're here with us. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here with you.
Nancy, there's so much I want to say. So, and we want to speak to Cornelius Pants. How does one go from being the superwoman of Hay House? How do you go from recovering Dr. Wayne Dyer's briefcase on the plane to learning to flex your boundary muscle to say no to, dare I say, Louise Hay in the gardens of London? No, thank you. I'm going to pass on taking a beautiful, intimate walk with you. How does one do that? Because, you know, handle the lump, heal your life. You know how it is divinely inspired right here.
Yes. So, you know, and I will always say that, you know, my job at Hay House was my dream job. And what made me so exceptional at my job, if I may say, is that I was a people pleaser of the highest order. And I was addicted to external validation. And I was seeking approval at every turn. And the bottom line is that when we're chasing the gold stars, no amount of gold stars will ever be enough. So everything we're seeking externally needs to be resolved internally first. So the way I was able to go from, you know, doing everything for everyone else to being able to say no and actually making my own life a priority was being able to tap into knowing that, and this is really the invitation here for everyone, that I deserve to consider my own needs and put attention on my own life at least as much as I'm giving to and putting attention on everyone else.
I love that. I took the road trip with you, the road trip with
it. Oh, you did. Awesome. Yes.
I hopped on and it was good fun. Thank you. And it's such an easy concept, but you know, sometimes easy is not so simple to apply or the reverse. And you've said that. I've heard you say that different times too. You're not asking to tip the scale. You know, it's no division of labor, no pointing and nothing like that. It's just loving yourself no less.
Yes. And that's the thing. Most people will hear an either or.
Yes.
That if I'm willing to consider myself, it means that I'm not considering someone else, or I'm disrespecting, or disregarding, or ignoring. And that's never what I'm saying. It's always a both and. And so it's really, you know, am I willing to consider myself at least as much as, then am I willing to consider myself more? Again, it doesn't mean instead of or only, it just means more. And then really what I say is the boundary ninja move is, am I willing to consider myself first before I consider someone else? Because when we are people pleasers, we are living other referenced lives. We are crossing the boundary of our own territory. We're going across the border into someone else's territory. And we're taking responsibility for what's not ours to take responsibility for. So I'm really supporting us in keeping our attention here on what it is that we can take responsibility for and control.
Yes, and one might have learned that in your other book, Permission to Go First. Go ahead, Cornelia.
Well, I was going to say that that's excellent because I can identify with being a people pleaser, very much so. And even this morning, and I want to hear what your thoughts are to this, Nancy, and you too, Dana. And that is, you know, as we're stepping more into our leadership as women, in equality in this world, like when, you know, that path at times is very lonely because, you know, as we're taking these quantum leaps and then we're stepping into another step where we are approving of ourselves and we're seeing our own value and our own worth. And sometimes there's not a lot of people there, right? Because you're the leader in it. You're the one. And so even this morning, you know, on my walk, there was still a part of me that felt like, you know, I'd love for someone to approve. You know, I would love for someone to approve when all of a sudden I had the realization. I took the big red stamp in my hand, my imaginary stamp, and I put it down on the ground and I said, I approve, and that is enough.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the main shift here, because especially for those of us who have attached our sense of value and worth to what we do achieve or produce in an externally referenced way, what's happened along the way is that we have not given our attention to ourselves, whether we want to call it self-care or self-love, because no one's been there to put that stamp of approval on. So we don't do the things that no one else will see. We don't do the things that are just for ourselves because we're not going to get the accolades. So the most important thing is that you approve of you. The most important thing is that we find the ways to actually give ourselves our own approval and give ourselves permission to do the things that have us feel good.
Yes. And I remember you saying, Nancy, before I wrote it down here, everything begins with truth-telling, locating yourself first, connecting with self, then you may self-resource and then self-nourish. And I love the way you use the word, because I love words. You use nourish. I like that. I think self-care is just, it doesn't mean anything anymore. It's just, it's lost its potency somehow. It's too diluted. But self-nourishment, that makes sense. Like you're truly feeding yourself. It's survival.
Yeah, because I think most of us have gotten so accustomed to living in deprivation and living in not even being aware of the hunger. Mm-hmm. You know, we've actually gotten numb to our own hunger. We've gotten numb to our own desire. So to me, that self-nourishing is really the way that we feed ourselves.
Right now, Nancy, with the heightened trying times, we're all in physical boundaries. Other things can come up because we are physically boundaried right now by force. How important are boundaries now? And what can we do to tether when the emotional and mental boundaries might be getting blurred?
Yeah, I mean, I think boundaries are more important now than ever before. And I think it's important for me to define how I'm using boundaries, how I refer to boundaries. So a boundary is a limit that we each set. So boundaries are very personal. My boundaries are the limits I set around what I will or will not do, will or will not tolerate, and will or will not accept. So at the essence level, it's simply what's okay with me and not okay with me, what's okay for me and not okay for me. A boundary is not wanting someone else to change. A boundary is not about someone else's behavior. Even when we have boundaries with other people, our boundaries are still our own. So my boundaries are between me and me, even if there's someone else involved. And that's a really critical piece when we're exploring the conversation around boundaries, because ultimately the biggest myth around boundaries is that someone else is crossing our boundaries. But if our boundaries are being crossed, we are the ones crossing them or enabling them to be crossed.
Yeah, I love that. I love that explanation. And then how do you work with the boundary as far as even for yourself? Like for me, I had to draw the boundary, the line in the sand for myself. I had to set a boundary. I remember when I did that, that was last year. I want to say it was last year, probably April, maybe March, April is when I drew the line and put a boundary down. And from that moment forward, I said, I will not tolerate and I refuse to judge myself anymore. No bad talk, no negative self-talk, no more. Boundary, no more. And, you know, so is that also what you're talking about? You know, setting the boundary for yourself also in that way?
Sure. I mean, there are so many ways in which we set boundaries with ourselves. So we can set boundaries, you know, the mental boundaries, we can set emotional boundaries, physical, material, we can set boundaries around time, around space, around commitments, around goals, actions, choices. So what it really comes down to is, what's it going to take for us to show up for ourselves the way we show up for everyone else in our lives? You know, what's it going to take for me to put on my calendar a 2-hour chunk of time to write and not move that block of time when a client says, oh, can we meet during that time? What, how do I show up and honor myself like my most sacred client?
Do you ever find that you get, I mean, out in the world, you know, like when we had Christine on, she was talking about, Christiane, I'm sorry. She was talking about the energy vampire. Mm-hmm. And how, you know, she's found that even in her circle of people that she's traveled with, that there's people, you know, that were energy vampires, even in her immediate circle. Do you also find that in your circle of, you know, successful people, the people that you are around, that you have to draw the line and draw the boundaries? And
of course, for myself. You know, for my energetics, I will say, so Christiane wrote the foreword to this book, To Setting Boundaries Will Set You Free. And she said to me that this is like the guidebook for the empath who's dealing with the energy vampire, that this book is actually the step-by-step approach that an empath can use to really learn how to set boundaries in her life.
Wow. That's excellent. That's wonderful. Yeah. Definitely. Everyone, Dana, do you want to hold those books up again?
You know, I had wanted to say too also that this may possibly be the most generous foreword I've ever written. It's extensive. There's a lot.
It is.
She says in it that Superwoman had it handled. Well, you've already explained how you came to be coined as Superwoman. She explains so much of it here. But, and she said, of course you did. You're one of those people. That makes it look easy too, because here she underscores, Nancy always showed up looking stunning, healthy, and rested. And I know you're just a Colorado badass, just out hiking and enjoying nature. And she also says here that basically this book is self-care and healthcare 101. School's out right now, so you can school yourself in this. I mean, it's really, it's incredible. She really,
I feel very fortunate. We've known each other for over 20 years. So we've known each other a very long time. She's seen me, you know, she's seen me through it all. So I was very honored that she wrote that forward as graciously and generously as she did.
And you do have praise from other greats, Gabby Bernstein, Chris Carr, Colette Baron-Reed, Nick and Jessica Ordner. I mean, I could go on, but I mean, this is about you. It's not about everyone else. This is the Me to Me Nancy Boundary Show, but you really, you've done some incredible work. How did you come to do this? You say you're a master coach. Tell us about your, how did you become so masterful in coaching? Are you your ideal client avatar?
An earlier version of me is my ideal client avatar. Mm-hmm. So I was the event director at Hay House for 12 years. And during that time, I hit my own crisis, which was my marriage imploding, which is in all my books in great detail. And so when I was at that choice point, you know, I had always said I had a front row seat and a backstage pass to the greats, to Wayne, to Louise, Marianne Williamson, Carolyn Mace. I mean, you name it, Deepak, I've been with them all and have had, you know, was really fortunate in being able to be around their teachings, but their teachings couldn't really land in me until I was going through my own dark night of the soul. And so as my marriage was dissolving, an 18-year marriage, I mean, a long-term marriage, as my marriage was dissolving, and as I was finally coming to the truth telling that I was talking, that, you know, you named earlier. And as I was really understanding on a deep level that the truth is when we don't tell the truth to ourselves, we create chaos in our own life. And when we don't tell the truth, it will come out sideways. And so all of this was happening while I was Superwoman powerhouse at my job. I didn't want anyone to know what was going on behind the scenes. I was living by the motto, never let them see you sweat. I was projecting this image of perfection to the world. I was giving people a very specific lens to see me through. I was, you know, managing their perception of me. And then when everything came crashing down, I was sort of scooped up by my dear friend and my mentor, the late Debbie Ford. And she was someone with whom I was very close, and I was producing many of her events through Hay House. And right around the time that I was getting ready to leave my marriage, she said, you know, have your staff produce the event. You're sitting your ass in the chair. You're doing the work that it's going to take for you to be able to emerge from this, well, you know, this darkness that you're in. So I went through that workshop, and then I decided I wanted to do her year-long coaching certification training. And I will tell you, so my job at Hay House was really like the full-time job of three people. I was on the road 200 days a year plus. I was producing some years nearly 100 events. It was insane and I loved it. And at the same time, I did this year-long coach training program, not to become a coach, but just to know myself better. And on the other side of that training, I was literally unrecognizable from the woman who I was when I began it.
Incredible.
And it became very clear to me that as much as I love my job at Hay House, it's really my goal, my mission, my calling to help other people get free. So I began the process of my side hustle, coaching on the side while I still had my full-time job. It took me over a year to leave my job fully and transition into being a full-time coach, speaker, teacher, author. I have now, this is my fifth book I've published. And I then just in this past fall opened the doors to Love and Life Coach Academy to train coaches, because Debbie's coach training program folded not long after she passed. And I knew that I wanted to be able to help teach people in the way that I wanted to support coaches, drawing on Debbie, drawing on Louise, Wayne, you know, all my teachers, and being able to help people help people.
Yes, that's incredible. And how blessed you were to work with her, obviously, and be her friend too, before she passed. Dark Side of the Light Chasers. That's in my library.
Yes. Brilliant.
Yeah. So many people were, I know many people. I didn't do any of Debbie's work, but I've done a lot of shadow work, and I've developed my own coaching certification program as well, wholeness practitioner through shadow work and also the emotions and the beliefs. But I know many people that have taken Debbie Ford's programs and been through her seminars and everything, and are absolute fans like you are still to this day, where people it was life-changing for people, her yeah. work. Her work was life-changing in facing
Very
the shadows
so.
And doing shadow work. And so what an extraordinary experience for you. It reminds me of the feminine that has always had to, you know, when I heard you talk about you projected your image out, how you wanted to be seen and kept everything in perfect status quo. Don't let them see what, you know, what's happening behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. This has been, you know, part of our feminine energy, where we've, you know, kept it all quiet and not brought it out in the open, because we didn't want other people to see what we were really experiencing. And it sounds like from what you went through, that horrific experience, that you took all of that and have given birth to an entire empire of you.
I feel that that's very true. I mean, the sort of the, you know, one of the key moments in my personal story is my now ex-husband reading my journals. And I look back on that moment now 12 years ago as one of the greatest things that could have ever happened to me.
Wow.
Because I set a bomb in that journal that detonated 8 years later, that helped me get free, because who I was when I wrote what I wrote, when I did what I did, when I experienced what I experienced, I couldn't tell the truth at that point. And so I look back on this experience of being exposed in this way as actually being the very point that I got to be free.
Well, applause, because that is the gift. And now you rightfully share the stage with Gabby Bernstein. And in your book, you so beautifully write about boundaries, and you can get into the scripts and tips with us.
Yeah.
It's so, I want to say that you really recognize, it's been a pleasure to watch you go through this journey. You recognize your entry point of where you started to tell the truth. Like, then you're broken open. You're just cracked open.
Yeah.
And then there's nowhere to go from there but up, because like you've bottomed out beautifully, you know? And in your book, you talk, I thought it was interesting, you talk about how really the overdoing, the overcaring, the overisms, it's a message to the universe, really, that of self-importance.
Yeah.
That you are not allowing someone to be responsible for themselves in overdoing and overcaring and yeah. everything that we're in recovery about. Because as women, Cornelia's talking about the feminine, that's, we've been programmed that way.
Yeah, I mean, we want to start being able to hold others capable of tending to their own needs. And that's really that piece there, that when we swoop in with all the overgiving, all the overdoing, there's the gain we get from feeling indispensable and feeling, you know, and feeling so important. And yet there's also the piece that we're denying someone else the ability to take care of themselves.
It reminds me of the victim savior paradigm, mm-hmm. wound, the mm-hmm. martyr.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's that energy. And really, when we're all empowered creators, we're all able to, you know, be our own inner savior. We're, you know, just as you saved yourself in the work that you did through the work when Debbie sat you down. I love having someone like that, that sat you down and said, okay, now you really, you need to sit down and do the work, because really, truly, it is that inner work, isn't it? It is that inner work that when it's like, when everything is falling apart around us and it's like, okay, well then there's nothing left to do now, but to go and look at all of this mess.
I mean, even with what's happening right now in the world, I mean, this very moment is such a potent opportunity for us to really look at, you know, like I've been really thinking about this, that, you know, this climate that we're in right now becomes this illumination of the changes that we've wanted to make that we haven't up until now. And we're actually being given this pause to be able to recalibrate, reassess, realign. You know, I think you mentioned this earlier, but you know, I have this quote, honor the space between no longer and not yet. Mm-hmm. And we're in this space between no longer and not yet. The world, you know, is not going to look like what it did.
Thank God.
And we don't know what it's exactly going to look like when we get on the other side of this. And the point here is, this is where the resilience is born. This is where the resourcefulness and opportunity and possibility is born, if we're willing to actually heed the call here.
Yeah. And that's beautiful, Nancy. It reminds me of what Dana was talking about earlier, when she was saying that, you know, when she's talking to other people in the community, when they don't see, like, you know, when you're faced with an illness and you're looking at the illness and they go, I don't see the gift in this yet. But even when we're looking at the overall scope of what's happening here with this virus, and I was looking at this and thinking about it myself, that this virus, fear, the whole fear is like a virus itself. It's contagious and it can spread. And how right now, this is really the time to look at the fear and our wars within us, our cancers within us, everything within us. It's all giving us cause and pause to sit down and look at what it is that we really want. What is it that really matters? Who am I now? And what am I willing to do now to show up in a better way?
Yeah. And who do I want to be on the other side of this? How do I actually feed and fuel and propel my becoming?
Yeah, it's very much of a Western human construct to not rest in the grieving spot. That's very true.
Right, to just muscle through and push through and wish time away. I mean, there will, as crazy as it might sound, there will be some time far in the future that we will crave the time we have right now in the way we have it.
True.
Even if our life has been turned upside down and schedule has gone crazy and whatever, you know, whatever we're dealing with right now, there will be some time that we will look back and think, I didn't take full advantage of what was available to me.
But other cultures get it. In the East, Native culture, they rest in the wisdom of pause. Mm-hmm. And we're catching up. We needed the shakedown. It's so true. Right. Nancy, to imagine to come from, you hopped on a plane in the middle of the night. I mean, just to give color and context here, for so people really can appreciate this, and then we'll move on with it. But it is an incredible story. But as I understand it through your words, Wayne Dyer was going to take the stage and feared he forgot his briefcase. And you woke in bed, bolted to the airport, hopped on a plane, landed, didn't, you know, collect, pass, go, get your two, you just like stopped without luggage, picked up the briefcase, went back, and he took the stage at 9 o'clock, was none the wiser. He was sleeping through the whole thing. That's the extent of where you were to where you are now. So you've really, and I've enjoyed the road trip within Ride With You. So I know you're a natural coach. You've earned your stripes. This is,
thank you.
Kudos. You are there. And in your book, you talk about how, boundaries are prevention. And it just makes me think of breast cancer as a master coach, because I know you are one of those people that people just congregate and come to you and they just come. I know you help women. I just know you do. In your experience, tell us, in your words, boundaries prevent burnout.
Yeah.
That speaks to the global situation right now. your experience of working with women, how true is that for breasts? We'll go into the Louise Hay lane now of breast and boundaries.
Yeah. I mean, I actually think in every way it is critical, because when we're in that state of constantly overdoing and overgiving, when we've wrapped our worth and our value into what we do and what we give and what we achieve, we lose our sense of self.
Yes.
So what happens is, and this is for most women, have, you know, we've disowned selfish to such a degree that we have, and we've embodied selfless, thinking that's how we want to live. We want to be selfless, that is the badge of honor. Well, in selfless, we have vanished. We have disappeared. And so part of this is also the invitation to really reclaim selfishness and see the healthy selfishness, so that we're not burnt out by doing and giving and saying yes to everyone else. Every time we say no to someone else, we're saying yes to us. We are choosing ourselves. And that's the correlation with burnout. We're burnt out because we have disregarded our own needs. We've abandoned ourselves for the sake of everybody else.
Yeah. And you said it earlier. You said it. This is the time now to take this time, this pause,
yeah,
to really look within and look at what hasn't been loved, what hasn't, yeah, nurtured, what hasn't had the listening and all of that, because we're gonna pick back up again. We're gonna go back, you know, I mean,
we're gonna ramp back up again at some point,
yep,
you know, for sure. And we wanna be the version of ourselves who is stepping into the fullness.
Right, the authentic version. Because yeah, otherwise you're not giving from an open, loving heart.
And that's the other thing. You know, it takes so much more energy to wear the mask and the cape and the armor and the shield. It takes so much more energy to package ourselves to be digestible to everyone else. You know, I would say that's probably one of the biggest aha moments I had. How much energy was returned to me, how much more resourced I felt when I was no longer hiding. Because we think on some level we have to hide some part of ourselves in order to be loved and accepted. And we spend so much energy with the hiding. And yet in the next breath we say, I just want to be loved for who I am. Well, I can't be loved for who I am if I'm not willing to reveal who I am.
True.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it. And I think part of our evolution, well, it's not, I think, I know part of our evolution is being our transparent, authentic self, because that's what we're yearning for with each other in intimacy, is we want to be able to know that the person that I'm spending my energy with, that I'm spending my time with, that I'm going to get the truth, that I'm going to get your authentic expression.
Yeah. And you know, this really brings me to one of the points I speak about often, that is, you know, the goal of relationship, any relationship, intimate partnership, me and my mother, anything. The goal of any relationship is not harmony at all cost. Mm-hmm. Because harmony at all cost comes at a very high cost. And it comes at a high cost to us. The goal of relationship is really freedom. And in the freedom, it's the acceptance of your truth and my truth being in the container. So we may not agree, and we don't need to even agree. So I talk a lot about cozying up to conflict, because I see conflict as simply the illumination of our differences. Real intimacy is, okay, we're in this container that can hold your truth and mine, and that's okay. We can still stay in connection, even if we have conflicting ideas or beliefs.
In my former life in human resources, at a conference, one speaker said, conflict is proof, really. It's creative intelligence. It's proof that there are differing opinions. Otherwise, you won't check pulse. I mean, you know, we really want to make sure. And where there's rupture, there can always be repair. I want to get into the tips and scripts because you have some really good stuff. If I would have known, if we could go back and, you know, in hindsight, I love what you said to your former love, to your former partner. I love the language that you use, because tell us about your experience with unsolicited advice.
I'm not a fan. Right. I'm not a fan of unsolicited advice. So I let people know I'm not available for it. You know, I appreciate your opinion and I'm not available for unsolicited advice.
So for all of our listeners and viewers, they can insert anything. I love that language. I'm not available for that.
I'm not available for this conversation.
Easy peasy.
Yeah.
Because my 9-year-old daughter can do that.
Right. Because the important thing to remember about boundaries is not, boundaries are not telling someone else what they can or cannot do. And boundaries are not about someone else changing their behavior. So it's not, don't talk to me this way. It's not, don't say this to me. It's when you say X, I feel Y.
Right.
And in order to take care of myself, I'm going to do Z. You know, so I feel uncomfortable and angry when you offer unsolicited advice. So I'm letting you know that if you decide to continue putting it in the conversation in order to take care of myself, I'm going to leave the house and take a walk around the block.
Excellent. Here.
But then I need to be ready to take the walk around the block, because it's one thing to set a boundary. It's another thing to maintain the boundary. And right. Again, it's no one else's job to uphold or respect or honor or maintain our boundary. It's ours. Yeah. And right. We have to really remember that, because otherwise we're the little girl who cries wolf if we don't stand, if we don't put our money where our mouth is.
And a lot too, you know, with as we're unveiling and awakening to ourselves and listening to ourselves more, the way we used to do relationship in this partnership may be changing, because where before I let all of these things slide and didn't say anything and didn't get all these things. But now I need to be able to communicate in this relationship about, hey, this doesn't work for me anymore, because it used to work for you. You used to let it all be. And now all of a sudden you're changing the game. What do you say?
And that's, you know, that is what it is. We're changing the rules of engagement. And this is what happens when we don't go on our first date as ourselves. This is what happens when we, you know, when we go out and create a persona, because we're wanting to be chosen. We're wanting the other person to like us. We don't go out in the world from the place of, I get to pick, I get to choose, I get to decide. And so we start creating this version of ourselves that we think is what someone else wants. And bottom line, we can only hold our breath for so long.
So true.
We weren't meant to be silent. A part of our evolution is to really contribute to each unique essence that we are, to the whole. Mm-hmm. And we can't do that if we're being silent and we're not speaking up for what's important to this unique expression of source that is you. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
So Nancy, give us the gospel of guilt. What's the good news about guilt?
I love to talk about guilt. I think that guilt in this context, so I want to be very clear about, I'm talking about in this context around boundaries, around selfishness, around making yourself a priority. Guilt in this context is actually, so guilt is letting us know that we're honoring ourselves. It's going to feel uncomfortable. It's unfamiliar, especially if all of our antenna and attention has been outward. It's going to feel really uncomfortable to turn the attention inward. And so we're going to feel what we know as guilt, and we're used to identifying guilt as bad.
Yes.
So I'm simply saying, hey, if you say no to someone, and you feel guilty about saying no, that's actually letting you know that you're saying yes to you.
That's a beautiful reframe. That's really, yeah. That's purposeful context right there. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to speak specifically for empaths, because I always say it's great to be positively porous, take mm-hmm. in the good, and be protectively permeable. I don't know if you recall in Dr. Northrup's book, she talks about empaths having super traits. Is there any, she says that we can be so empathic, we're blind. So she talks about the difference. And you talk about conquering codependence. Since you're giving us school today, want to give us your definition of codependence?
Yeah. So my definition of codependence is looking for someone else outside of us to regulate us emotionally.
I love that. Looking outside of ourselves for someone to self-regulate us.
Right. So in other words, you know, when we're in that loop in our head of what do I need to do or say to make everything be okay? That's one way in which the codependency really shows up, because we're so focused on the other person and we're so focused on, again, the harmony. It's also the way that we're sort of stepping over that boundary of where I begin and, or where I end and you begin. We're stepping over that border into your territory. I'm stepping over to take your temperature so I know how I feel.
Yes. You know, yes.
And that's, you know, to me, that's emblematic of codependency.
Right. She talks about the blind spots of people that are so empathic. Do you think that there's anything you can drill down, an extra bonus homework or bonus question for empaths that they can really take away? Because this is self-care 101 for empaths. Right. You need extra help.
I mean, I think that it has to begin with getting in contact with what we want and what we think and what we need, which for so many of us, we have suppressed and suffocated that for so long. So simple things we can start doing is when we literally find ourselves thinking, what does he think or what does she think? To reel it back into, what do I think?
Right.
Or what does he need? What does she need? What do I need? What does he want? What does she want? What do I want? Literally to start there. And on such, you know, this is an example I use all the time, but it resonates. So, you know, if I say to you, hey, Dana, where do you want to go to dinner tonight? The most common response is, I don't care. Where do you want to go? Right?
So true. Jack Canfield calls it practice preference taking.
Right. And so that's the piece of like, start getting in contact with your preferences, which are going to lead to unearthing your desires. So begin noticing a preference and expressing a preference.
Yes.
So even being able to say, hey, I want sushi tonight. Now, for all I know, you're allergic to fish, but at least I've said what I want. You might say, hey, I want Italian. We might agree to have Italian tonight and sushi next week. Or we may never have sushi because you can't eat it. But what will happen is the resentment isn't going to grow inside of me. Because resentment is a telltale sign that we need to put a boundary into place. And the resentment rises because we have shut ourselves down. We think that the resentment is towards someone else, but it's really toward ourselves.
Oh, that's good. That's a writer downer.
Yeah. And I love that, because what you're speaking to is truly honoring the self.
Always.
Always honoring the self. And you are honoring the self. And that's the law.
Yeah.
That you're speaking to it, and that everyone else can either honor the law but you have. This is the new way. That's the boundary. That's how it is. You're speaking to everything. It's a beautiful sacred way to unveil your true authentic self and live. And thank you for, you know, for speaking it so well.
Sure.
I want to, we just have a few minutes left now. We have about 3 minutes left, but I do want to remind the audience for the Transcending Fear webinar that I'm offering on Saturday at 11 o'clock Pacific time. It's a powerful time now, really, to transcend your fears and allow love to take the lead. You being the leading person in your life, whether you're a man or a woman, but now is the time. Ladies and gentlemen, we just don't have the luxury anymore to say, I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of that, I'm afraid of... Take responsibility for your energy field and come and learn how to transcend your fear so that you don't say that anymore. Because that's the thing, we're just projecting the fears out and they stay there and they're affecting our planet, our dear Mother Earth that has selflessly taken every thought, action, and emotion for so many thousands of years. And it's time to bring it home to ourselves and take responsibility for our actions. And so what do you ladies want to say in closing?
I want to just show this beautiful book again. And there's evidence in here for anyone who doesn't know how to start practicing. Nancy, you can give proof. You list five things. People make boundary choices every day. So I'd leave it with you, Nancy. What do you want to say in your parting words?
I want to say thank you for our time together. I so appreciate getting to talk about this with you. All the details about me, where I am. Well, now I'm home, but I will be on the road at some point again. And I've got lots of online goodies. Everything's available on my website at nancylevin.com.
Nancy, who's your publisher? I'm curious.
Hay House.
Ah, okay. Okay. So you kept it in the family.
Yeah. I self-published my first two books.
Okay.
And then Hay House picked me up.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, it's been an honor and a pleasure to have you here. I agree with you 100% that boundaries are now more in demand than ever before. And we really have to, you know, learn and practice speaking our boundaries and taking that 101 book, like Christiane said, this is what the book is, your book is, 101 on self-care and finding out what's important to you and how to do it, what to say, having those challenging conversations with yourself or your partners, your soulmates, right? It's an important time. So thank you, Nancy, for coming on and spending this hour with us. And as always, my beautiful co-host, Dana Terrio, so much love to you and our beloved audience. We'll see you again next time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Lady Boss, Women Inspiring Women, featuring leading edge entrepreneurs who are putting the focus on empathic leadership in today's modern day world. Text the word Cornelia to the number 22828 and receive her weekly newsletters. For more information on Cornelia Stephanie and her extraordinary work, or to listen to past shows, go to corneliastephanie.com.